Welcome to the Side Hustle Project, a podcast where we explore the nitty-gritty details behind what it takes to start and grow a profitable side hustle. I'm your host, Ryan Robinson. Throughout this first season, I'm bringing you interviews with entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, CEOs, investors, and people just like you who are building and profiting from interesting side hustles. And in today's episode, we're talking to Victor Tretiak, an IT analyst by day and side hustler by night, who's got a growing little business selling super cool pens. And when we talk about pens today, it's not writing utensils. Think throwback pens that go on the lapel of your jacket, on your shirt, or on your backpack. And these pens that Victor is making range from being in the image of classic VW vans to saying phrases like hustle and good vibes. And in less than 6 months, Victor has gone from initial idea to finding an overseas manufacturer, making his first couple hundred sales, connecting with Instagram influencers, and much, much more. As always, you can find everything we mentioned in today's episode in the show notes at ryrob.com/podcast. That's spelled ryrob.com/podcast. Let's get into today's interview with Victor Tretiak. Victor, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, so let's jump straight into this. Tell me about your day job.
Okay, so my day job, I'm an analyst. I start out in insurance as a QA, BA kind of role, and right now I am an associate IT analyst. I've never studied any coding or anything in college. I was a pre-med student, and then literally a semester before dropping out, my counselor made me finish a business degree. And so during that time, I was building little websites through WordPress. And within that last stretch of my semester, I was able to land a web internship. And then I kind of got into that. And then I saw that I wasn't the best coder. So I kind of went into the BA QA role. So that's my 9-to-5 right now. I do enjoy it. There's a lot of things I learned that I could put in, especially like the agile methodology and putting that in just regular life. Yeah, it's been a good learning.
Awesome. I love it. Okay, so now your side hustle is called VT Oswald, right? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So VT, Victor is my first name. T stands for Tretiak, and Oswald is my kind of corporation that I'm going to try to run things for now. I just wanted to build more of a personal brand and not like a brand that just always posts stuff to sell. You know, I just wanted to kind of capture my life, what I like, my hobbies and everything, and then have a little product on the side that I sell through that. That was kind of my bigger dream, and I'm still working out the vision for that.
Awesome. So what is your first product then?
So my first product was the old school Wagoneer. It was a Wagoneer pen. And for me, that kind of holds this huge memory when I came here when I was young from Ukraine. My parents came here, and that Wagoneer was like kind of this epitome of the American culture. It was the epitome of like the prepster lifestyle. And I really love that lifestyle, like the New England vibes. And that was kind of the initial thing. I was like, wait, I mean, I follow these other people that have Wagoneers on Instagram. And I'm like, well, they all have these kind of things. They don't have a pen. And I love pens. Maybe I could make one. So that was kind of my first product.
Awesome. And so, yeah, we should clarify for our listeners, when we're talking about pens here, we're talking about the little pens that would go on to, say, your jacket, your shirt, your backpack, and now you've sort of spread out into several different types of pens. So how do you come up with your ideas for the pens?
So I usually have a theme going. So my first was the Wagoneer, and that was testing how things go, seeing if people like the idea or not. And then that one did really well. It really blew my mind what the internet and everything. Like, I knew it was good for the big guys, you know, but what about small guys? Can I make it happen? Can I get any sales? But yeah, with that experience, that blew my mind. And then after that, I kind of wanted to do one that was kind of like that showed positivity. And I kind of did a good vibes kind of pins and saw how that went. And then after that, I did a travel kind of pin. series, because I usually try to make 2 to 3 pins within a series. So for my travel, I had a compass, I had a little travel quote, and my VW van with the surfboard, which is one of my favorites as well. And then for my good vibes, I had like good vibes only, the Shaka with the good vibes. And then I had the anti-vibe shield, which brought like these memories as well to me when I used to like skate or BMX. It was this movement. But yeah, that's, and then the hustle is like, I should make a hustle one just because I'm trying to hustle and other people. And I live in Ohio. I'm from Ohio. And so I made another one that I'm just trying to support and provide, just get Ohio out there as well. It's a really good, strong community in Ohio, whether you're from Cincy, Columbus, Cleveland, everyone works together.
I love that. So where are you at now then in terms of, say, number of pins sold, revenue each month? Like, what are some of your metrics?
So right now I haven't advertised, so I'm kind of trying to figure things out with that. But I have 2 wholesale accounts in California. So when I kind of started this, I went to Cali to see how these boutiques work, you know, what they sell, what they don't sell. And I kind of tried to think of how can I incorporate that vibe as well, because I kind of do love to travel and venture on. And so with those boutiques, I literally took a road trip from LA up to San Fran along the Big Sur coast and just stopped by Santa Barbara, in different little small shops along the way. And I just found out who the owners were, whether speaking to them, email before. I had a list of all these stores. And I just came to them and talked to them and said, hey, this is what I'm planning. What are you guys missing? What do you guys sell out a lot? Do you guys have something else? Would you like to see something like that? And for me, yeah, I had 2 wholesale accounts for 25, and now I think another 25 and 25 that they were placed. They loved it. And both pins I made in a larger quantity, so I kind of was ready for that. But there's a risk involved in that as well. On my online sales, I am around, I think, about 80, let me double check right now. Actually, this is my work computer. Yeah, around 80. I'm cool. Probably 81, 82 right now.
Awesome. So you've got online sales that kind of trickle in or spike whenever you're trying something out, and you've got a couple of wholesale accounts. How many pins would you say you're moving per month right now?
Right now has been slower. So I started in late November of 2016 when I had my first campaign. I had everything up. And I mean, I had this up very fast. I probably started developing probably October. And by the end of November, I had everything running. And it was, for me, a lot of emails with my manufacturers, just figuring things out like that. That took the hardest, and, you know, maybe lost some money here or just didn't know how to do it. But that's kind of the business process in that. But typically with a campaign that I do, let's say one campaign, I had up to 40 sales, 40, 50 sales. Another one I had around 20 to 30. Depends on, and another one I had was, I think 10. So it's kind of hard to do these Instagram campaigns, or that's what I focus on right now, and finding the right people to help you advertise or kind of believe in that pin or love it. But yeah, that's been around my online sales. And with the wholesales, I stay in touch with them all the time. I see how they're doing. If they want to try something else, I'll send them a Starbucks or something gift card just for having me in their store, just to please them in a way. And they've been great with that.
So I want to talk about that wholesale account, or those wholesale accounts rather, that you've gathered already. So how did you go about the process of identifying good potential stores to carry your product? And at what stage did you start approaching them? Like, did you have, you know, samples already? Are you pitching just an idea? Did you have finished product? Like, what was that whole process like from a granular level?
So when I started just the whole pins, I was like, oh man, there's so many pins I could make that, you know, would fit into different niches. And I'm like, oh, I'm like all around. I'm still kind of all around, and I'm trying to narrow it. So I had that original thought. I'm like, I could wholesale this to boutiques or some other, like, I'll tell you another thing that I'm doing later, but Yeah, so I had that originally, and I had a planned trip to Cali to visit some friends, hang out. I've been there a lot of times, but I haven't done like the full Big Sur road trip. So I did that, and then before I was flying out, a few days before, I just mapped out a bunch of boutiques I went to from LA to Santa Barbara along the coast, like what boutiques, what gas station, what whatever it was. And then I literally emailed, or if they had a website or contact, point of contact, I'll email them. I called a few, and then when I was there, I tried to go within hours that they opened. I just talked to them and see what they're looking for, and then I kind of felt the vibes of where they were. So for me, the Volkswagen van was the one I already had the thought of, like, hey, that'd be cool, and I don't see it on internet anywhere. You know, if you try to find it, and if you do find it, the design or the style wasn't as like, hey, I would spend 8 to 10 or 12 bucks on this pin. But I had the wholesale accounts right away when I started that I could do that, just finding the right market for it.
Awesome. So yeah, you closed basically 2 wholesale accounts on your first trip out here. How many did it take? How many conversations did it take with different store owners to get those 2?
It took a while. So those were pretty much, I'm saying I probably had 50 mapped out.
Wow, 50?
Yeah, 50 mapped out. I've talked, I emailed. And the ones that were like optimistic and gave me the try for it, they're just awesome. I mean, they loved it right away, and you see it. So if people didn't want it, I didn't try to, you know, for sale them or something like that. I just moved on quickly.
So with those 2 people that ended up taking your product, what would you say really influenced them and got them to close the deal with you? Was it, you know, like the story that you built into the brand? Was it a price point negotiation? What do you feel like was the biggest factor?
I mean, I think it was all of that. I gave him a good price, you know. For me, this is all trial as long as I try to get some of my money back. But then I think they liked me and then what I was trying to do. And then they actually liked the product. They're like, hey, this would sell. We sell out of these things all the time. And it was kind of similar product, but, you know, these will sell better. And so they gave me, I'm like, hey, so, you know, I'll produce these and then I'll send you a few and try them out. And they did it. And then, yeah, that's how it kind of led to it.
Right on. So let's talk about manufacturing. That's something that I've had a hell of a roller coaster ride with myself building physical products. So tell me about your manufacturing process with the pens and sort of how you initially found your people.
Oh, that was hard. I mean, the first pen, the Wagoneer, I literally got screwed over, I could say, on it, but it's been my best product. Like, I had to put in a huge number of quantity for it, so it's more money. I still have a lot of them left. So, like, you know, thinking how to move the inventory for that. And that manufacturer, I mean, it was a third party, so it wasn't a direct manufacturer I didn't know about. That was the hardest part. And then after that, I just started literally, I would go on Alibaba or whatever, or different sources, different countries that I, you know, would just Google, like, hey, pin manufacturers in Japan, Vietnam, India, United States, stuff like that. And a lot of people say they manufacture things in the United States, but they actually don't. So that was another thing where people are like, oh, but then I would get a sample from, you know, China, let's say. And then just doing my research with the manufacturer on what kind of paint to use, what kind of metal to use, little things that I really want high quality in all my products as well.
So how did you eventually land on your manufacturer? Where did you initially find them?
So it's interesting because there's a few other artists out there that sell pins, create their own pins, because there a lot of these pins nowadays, they're like business cards for graphic designers, for just overall any artist, stuff like that, that are kind of creative on the graphics. And so I just started just using hashtags on Instagram, finding the biggest accounts of pin dealers, pin sales, pin promoters of, it's a huge cult, huge following around pins. Like, I love it myself. And there's a lot of people out there that collect them, sell them, trade them, whatever. And then I just started DMing a lot of these people who make them, and maybe they could help me get a manufacturer. And then, you know, I emailed a lot of people, and then I had a few people that gave me some of their manufacturers that do that. And then, I mean, I just emailed them. We kind of, the one that communicated the best and the fastest with me, I kind of went with that. And so right now I'm kind of in the middle of that same thing. If I should try something else, some other manufacturer that could work maybe better or faster or give me more options. But that's how, yeah, I landed through this guy on Instagram that I DM'd. And
man, that's awesome. That is so funny. Let's talk about the designs then. Do you do design work yourself? Do you have designers you work with? Does the factory come up with them? What is that process like?
So it's been all three. I usually try to have a vision of myself. So a lot of them is just like a photo, right? And I had a photo and I would send it to the factory and they had a designer to kind of mimic it up. Only that took a long time. That took a while, especially for 4 pins and the communication with different factories, and the language barrier is the hardest. So I literally just started designing a lot of it myself, learning Illustrator and Photoshop and vectorization and all this stuff. And that's been like interesting for me to learn the whole Adobe suite. And I knew Adobe, like Premiere and video editing, but not too much on the design. So I'm literally, it was all me, but I'm trying to outsource it after I get in a while, but I'm kind of having fun learning it and spending time with that. That's literally what I do most nights right now. I put in 30 minutes to an hour to learn and to kind of make my own design for future products.
Hey guys, Ryan here with a quick aside. Did you hear what Victor just said? He spends 30 minutes to an hour each night putting in time learning and building a skill that's important to the success of his business. In his case, that's becoming proficient with the Adobe Creative Suite so that he can make better designs and do them faster for his pens. And the reason I highlight that is because one of the most common questions I get from listeners is, how do I even get started if I don't have the skills to make or sell something of value yet? What Victor just said right there is your answer. You practice. You put in the time to learn, to get experience, to perfect your craft, to invest in your own skills. Then once you have a somewhat valuable skill, you'll be able to charge for sharing that value and continue building it and getting paid to build it. Victor is back talking about marketing, how he recently connected with 2 Instagram influencers and got them to post about his product for free, netting him almost 100 sales of his pens in just a matter of days. Let's talk about marketing. You started touching on Instagram. So tell us about what you've tried so far getting these pins out there. And so, you know, what has netted the highest return in terms of marketing?
Yeah, it's funny. That's the funniest thing. So when I started out, I followed people that kind of had these Wagoneers, and it all started from Wagoneer, right? And I would send one for free to, and I would email a photographer. He was a photographer, great, amazing photographer out of Utah. And his vibes kind of fit, you know, the Wagoneer and everything. And there's a lot of people that I know that follow him that have that vehicle as well. So you kind of have to look at their followers and who follows, whether it's some bigger guy or more influential social media, or more influential company, let's say. And so I sent it to him, and that was my first kind of so-called campaign. And he loved it. He's like, yeah, I sent him a few. I'm like, hey, you could give them out, whatever. And I didn't really expect him to post a photo on it on his. I just wanted to get some feedback on it. And so, I mean, next thing I know, he puts a photo, great photo, and I started getting these sales, and I was like, oh, wow. You know, it really hit me. I'm like, this is real. This is happening.
Do you know how many followers he had at the time?
Yeah, he had around 36,000 followers. Okay.
And how many sales came from that, would you say?
I mean, literally, I think 40.
Oh, it was my
wicked.
God.
Yeah, it was wicked.
Okay.
And I had, so my, that pin was a little bit cheaper. I think I had it $8 that time, which I have $10 just to adjust some of my prices. Cause I really didn't make too much money on it. But yeah, I had a lot of sales that came in.
Oh man. That to me sounds like the marketing channel you got to double down on, right?
Yeah. So yeah, it's, I don't know if you follow like Gary Vee or other people, which I'm pretty sure your audience does, but just whatever works, just go at it. And, you know, just go at it right away. You could test a little bit, but if it's working, yeah, that's when I saw, right, my, wow, change. This actually worked. I actually had it blew my mind because somebody placed an order through my website that I'm shipping to them. You know, it's kind of mind blown. I only had one product. I have a simple website. It's nothing fancy right now. And yeah, that was crazy.
All right. So you're following people that you genuinely like. You're browsing through hashtags, finding people that have the VW vans, and you're essentially kind of like building a community for yourself around this. And you're starting to connect with some of these influencers. Do you have anything else that you've tried so far as marketing, or has this kind of been your first kind of easy home run?
I do. So another one was a similar story. He had around, let's say, 39,000 followers, but he was more, he had a Wagoneer himself, and he was more involved with the Wagoneer community on the blogs. And so another, literally, I think like 30 sales came when he posted it on the blogs. And from these sales, so one of the sales, they had a lot of quantity. You have to understand, a lot of quantity within the pins. So I had a guy that actually refurbishes. He's the biggest refurbisher of these Jeeps. And he bought, I think, 50 from me. And then wow. I sent him another 50 with that order because I was just amazed. And he was using it as a promotional product for his clients that have bought it before. And he was just going to send them out during the holiday because he refurbished them and resold these Wagoneers. And I mean, right now, those Wagoneers, they fetch a price from a nicely restored from $60,000 to $120,000, which is insane.
So you said something that I really want to highlight for our listeners, and it's that when you had a guy place an order for 50 of your pens, you sent him 50 more as a thank you?
Yep.
Yep. Okay, so that's something
I'm even working to design a new one just for him and just send him as a thank you because I mean,
love that.
Gratitude. Yeah, you know, gratitude, a new color, a new design, better quality. I don't think they were the best quality. And he probably will not expect it. He kind of forgot about me right now because he's moving on with five. But imagine if that was you and you get these pins and, you know, he'll put a smile on you because he does what he loves. So, yeah.
And great unexpected opportunities can come from over-delivering to the, you know, few customers, call it, that you have in the early days, right?
Yeah, and even with him, he doesn't have a huge social media following or anything like that. So that's not even – I've noticed, you know, I thought, oh, I need the most followings or whatever to advertise. And I don't. You really don't. And for these two influencers, I didn't pay a penny. I really didn't pay, and they loved the product. I was gracious with them. I sent them a lot of pins for themselves. I tried to keep good, fast communication. After that, I send them gift cards just as thank you, you know. And I tried to even email them here and there and send them my new pins and stuff like that, just to thank them. I really never expect them for them to bring me so much value, and I'm trying to kind of return the favor as well.
That's great. Keep providing value. So, okay. What would you say then has been your biggest failure up to this point with this side hustle?
It's so right now with me designing, it takes time. Me trying to find more influencers or people kind, and just kind of seeing where I want to take it. What are the biggest hobbies? What are the biggest things that I enjoy about life? And I want to see and make pins around that because I want to love what I do. So, and I love making these pins. I love making a physical product. And I kind of want to make pins around what I love, whether it's cars, whether it's travel, whether it's fashion, whether it's just having a good time with friends, just stuff like that. And I'm trying to figure out, and I haven't figured it out. Maybe that's kind of my biggest failure. And yeah, I think the first order, the first manufacturer, I feel like if you design a product, whatever manufacturer, whatever person have a lot of samples, they send you. Because the first one I ordered a lot, it was the biggest money. And for me, that's been kind of going through. I still have a lot of left. And I made more money, but I'm still sitting on more inventory and just kind of measuring inventory with your prices and all this other stuff that goes in. But I mean, you have to do, if you have a vision or something, you could literally do it. I've noticed that through this little stuff that I've done.
Yeah. So how much then would you say up to this point you've invested in the business, ballpark figure?
So I literally started out with $800. That was website and the pins in my initial order. It was $800. Right now, probably at $1,300 with everything. So it wasn't too much.
And that's kind of accounting for reorders, correct?
Yeah. So 1300, that's with all my, that's my pretty much the cost of the pins manufacturing and everything.
That's great. That's super low cost, especially for, so for it, the it, margins it, that you have on these
it
pins.
It is, yes. And the margins, and I try to have my margins. I mean, I could have them lower, but shipping is the biggest issue. That's why I have them higher. Shipping has been the biggest pain in my butt with that. And I'm trying to figure out how to make it better, how to package them better. But yeah, I do want to bring that down. So shipping is the biggest thing, because I've had a few orders to place and the pins came bent, so I resent them to them.
Then you end up losing on something like that where you ship twice.
So yeah, kind of. So literally that has a lot of my that cost, the cost per pin has a lot of that in mind. Just in case, because then, you know, having the hassle of blaming USPS or FedEx and trying to do all this other stuff, it's a pain in the butt, and I would rather spend my time on better things.
Yeah, so one thing I really admire about what you've done with this business, in contrast to my very own first product-based business, I think I ended up investing more like $7,000 kind of before initial sale, which I always advise people not to do. And so I love how low cost, you know, relatively low cost this has been to get started. And, you know, based on all the experiences you've had with this so far, what advice would you give to someone who wants to start their own product-based business?
I mean, it's probably the easiest time to ever do anything like that. Our parents or whatever, they didn't have internet. They didn't, you know, you'd have to take out a phone book or something to get in contact with a manufacturer. And now there's forums, there's blogs, there's a community around mostly every or any product or theme. If you, let's say if you love whatever it is, and then you don't see a t-shirt for it, you can make a t-shirt for it and just target them. Target just those, that community that would love a t-shirt like that. But it's literally the easiest. So if someone has an idea or something, you could literally reach out to a lot of manufacturers. And I mean, just reaching out, most people are going to say no, but you never know when you're going to hit on that one or two people that'll be like, oh, this is cool. Yeah, we could do it. But just literally just doing it, you have it and just go. It's easy to set up a website with products like Weebly, Squarespace, Shopify, and, you know, that's low cost. It's low cost. You can make your own products. You could use Etsy or whatever to market. There's so many marketing ways. Yeah, it blows my mind. Every day I'm just thinking of like what would be my next step? How should I go? Where am I going to go with this? When I need to, you know, I have these time limits. And so hopefully by the end of the summer, I'll have everything figured out. Where should I do another campaign and just go in?
All right.
But I another one is right now, another one of my, before I stop, I'm already like fired up. Another marketing campaign is, so I make pins right now. I've started making pins for companies that are, let's say on Instagram, that have products that are cost more. Let's say I made it for this awesome canoe company. They hand make their canoes and they sell, let's say, for $4,000 to $6,000. And so I made a, they have t-shirts and hats of what, and their kind of stuff like that. But then I made them pins, and that was kind of my marketing technique, because then they post lower social media for them. I get the awareness and people love it. And then I have a chat with those people that have love it, and they do it as a marketing promo. So that's been another great, great investment. And then I don't pay my influence. I just kind of invest in a small quantity of pins, for initial start.
That's cool. I like that. So, real quick now, I want to transition over to some of my frequently asked questions. The questions are intentionally short for me. Your answers do not have to be short.
Okay.
So, let's do this. How do you find the time to work on this project? And typically, what hours of the day are you working on it?
Oh, so I mean, 9 to 5. I work my regular job. I literally get in sometimes 7:40 and I work till 6:30. Sometimes I have to log in another 30 minutes at night to get some results or something. So I have to plan out my days accordingly, whether it's me waking up earlier, let's say. I used to have this thing. I used to do a lot of videos for small fashion companies. So I would wake up at 3:30 in the morning and try to, you know, send those emails and say what kind of value I could bring for them. They would send me free products. I would make a video for like a shirt company, right? And now that turned into this pins. You know, I wake up in the morning. It's not 3:30 anymore, but it's around usually 5 in the morning. get my coffee and just think, do some reading, see, catch up on social media, you know, see what designs it could go, how to brand it. And then I work, and then after work, I pretty much have another hour set aside with that, which that hour usually leads to an hour and a half, 2 hours. And then I have some time depending on friends, family, just stuff like that. So you have to have good time management.
So what kind of sacrifices then, you know, maybe aside from some of the crazy early mornings, would you say you've had to make in order to put time into this business?
So I used to be more involved, let's say, in like sports leagues or whatever. So I sacrifice what sport league is most important to me. Friends, I would have to hang out with the friends that matter to me. And I'm not trying to be like harsh or mean or anything, but there is people that actually, you're trying to please or whatever. And a lot of those people I had to kind of cut off, or, you know, there's time I might just say hi and see how they're doing. They're doing well. But hanging down with them and just being there with them, I kind of had to cut it off, whether they were kind of a little bit, not on par with what I want. You know, when I hang out with my friends, we usually network, we talk, we brainstorm. Same time, we have a good time, whether we're doing it over a drink. But the other people, they just want to maybe drink more or have fun or whatever. So I kind of had to cut a lot of the fun time, kind of, you could say, in half. Another sacrifice. I mean, there shouldn't be too many sacrifices. A good time management, you won't sacrifice too much. I still go to the gym. I still have more family time I'm not married, but I have a long distance relationship, and I still make it out there. It's a 6-hour drive or a flight. I mean, once to twice a month, easy right now. And with family, I have a lot of nieces, nephews that I love. They love me. We always have a good time. So I don't think I sacrificed too much. It's just all about time management. Wherever, you know, if you're watching Netflix, you know, that's not going to benefit you too much. Some might, if you're a creative director and you want to see, that's good. You know, it's good research, you could say, but if you're trying to build a product or something, that really won't benefit you.
My last question for you, Victor, what's in store for VT Oswald in the coming months?
I think the biggest thing is branding. I've worked on some new branding, packaging. Branding packaging is going to be my biggest. And then focusing on products that I'm very passionate for, finding communities over. I have a lot of interests in my life. So it's whether it's cars, whether it's motorcycles, stuff like that. If I want to take it in that way and work influencers, or whether taking it to the laid back, preppy New England vibe style, or whether taking it to the whatever hobby, I have to figure out what I like most. I kind of want to brand myself around that for that time being. And then I've always wanted to have my own, whether it's fashion line or something like that, but that's kind of further awesome. Away. But I have been in contact with different manufacturers that produce and manufacture shirts just to see what it would cost and how to go from there.
Cool. So this is a means to kickstart what you want to do in
exactly.
the future.
Yep. This is a huge one, but I'm really enjoying this right now. Like if this would take off more with better designs, you know, I would love to keep doing this, but this was a means for me to, in all reality, this is a means for me to, I have an idea for a trademark. For a patent that I've always wanted to do. I see there's nothing like this in the market, and I'm like, hey, this is the best way to start it and to grow it. And then during a lot of my time, I do try to teach myself about patent, if it's even worth it. That's where I'm kind of at. I put a lot of time into that, and I'm like, is it worth it, or should I just go in and take that shot on this idea? And this also, I've come in contact with a lot of small social media business owners that are pretty big. You could say from 50 to 800,000 followings, and they have great companies, great products, and then just networking with them. So that's been one of my biggest kind of reasoning for starting this as well. Like the Wagoneer, I send it to a lot of these influencers. I found out their business addresses, And they all emailed me back. They're like, yo, this is amazing. You know, what I did with this. And I'm like, well, this is not even my best work yet. So, you know, so we'll see. I'm in the talks. We'll see what other brand partnerships I could do and how I can incorporate a lot of this kind of together. But branding is important, I'm realizing, and having a product behind that and kind of having a good story mm-hmm. with that. For me, I am a foreigner, but America has been one of the best. I mean, from what I came from, what I remember at a young age, when my parents tell me, when I even do go back and visit my homeland, comparing America to anything else, you literally America. Out of all the countries, all the things you hear, I still think this is the best country.
I love that.
It's the greatest country. You could literally do anything. You could go on Craigslist, buy something, flip it, and make another, you know, 20, 30 bucks, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you could, yeah. I have a friend that does that. He never had a job, and he graduated nursing. That's how funny it is.
All right. Well, awesome. Victor, where can our listeners here today go to learn more about VT Oswald and what you're up to?
I mean, VT Oswald, you could go to VTOswald.com to check out my pins. You could follow me on Instagram at VT Oswald. But yeah, that's pretty much it right now. I don't know how I'm looking forward in the future to go on Facebook. I do have VT Oswald on Twitter, but I try to focus on Instagram because I love that platform. It's a great right. platform.
And double down on what's working, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Awesome. Well, great. Victor, thank you again for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ryan.
If you enjoyed this episode of The Side Hustle Project, I would love your support. Head on over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating. And as always, you can catch every episode of The Side Hustle Project on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.